First John chapter 2, verse 28, 29, which coincides with exactly what we were studying last week, at beginning in verse number 24. So why don't we begin our reading in verse number 24. And 28 and 29 are a great bridge over to chapter 3. So I want to read the first three verses of chapter 3 as well as we read this morning. So we'll begin in 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him is purified. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to bring your word to your people. Pray your blessings upon this time. And all that's said and done, bring glory to your name. Help us to be conformed to the image of your Son through the power of your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you today on the topic of abide in him. That's kind of where John takes us this morning. Verse 28, he begins with the words, and now. You know, did you guys ever watch wrestling? Or maybe you still do watch wrestling? Not wrestling. When I was a child, we watched wrestling. And it was WCW, World Championship Wrestling, not the lesser WWF, which was not championship wrestling. And we always wanted to see if Sting or Ric Flair were wrestling. Y'all are looking at me crooked here like, oh, come on, man. I was 8 years old, okay? Cut me a break here. But there were always four or five others. How many of you watched the? Did anybody watch the boxing last night? None of us. None of us cared, right? I don't know if they do that in boxing, but, you know, in the wrestling, they'll have four or five other things and 3 hours of commercials before you ever get to the one you want to see. Right? Y'all know how this goes? But when they finally get to your guy, you know, the guy comes out in the middle of the stage and he grabs the microphone. I wish we had a microphone out of the ceiling, just to be honest with you. That would be cool. Grab that. And now Brother Sam's going to testify for us. Wouldn't that be great? Anyways, they also have pulpits that come up out of the floor. That would be pretty sweet too, right? But he comes up, and what does he always say? You've watched everything you didn't want to watch, and you're going to get to see the one you're going to see there. The man always says, and now. Right, and he'll follow that up with what you've all been waiting for, the grand event, or whatever. Well, that's kind of what John does to us here. It's like he's closing up this section and bringing us to something else. But we have these verses here that we need to look to. He says, and now, little children, what? Abide in him. Now, last time we looked at abiding. We've been looking at, all the way from verse number 15, this idea of how will we face opposition in the world? How will we stand when we encounter those specifically in opposition to Christ? John calls them antichrists. And John told the church to let the word abide in them, last time we saw this, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's how we will stand. And we're already victorious because of that, because the word of God forever is settled in heaven. It always has been, it always will be. It is right now. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. John says that's how we are to abide. And he takes that a little further this morning and says, and now, little children, abide in him. So this bridge, before we go to chapter number 3, between external opposition and the love of the Father. Now, that's a good time to have a bridge. We're over here at external opposition, and we're going to jump right to the love of the Father. We kind of need to connect those two a little bit. Wiersbe says this is a bridge between fellowship and sonship. And as I was thinking of that, I was trying to make that connection in my mind, and I decided I didn't want to make that connection at all, but I'm just glad I get both. Amen. Fellowship and sonship. So praise the Lord for that. So let's notice this morning, verse 28, verse 29, abide in Him. Abide is the first word we encounter here. There are three key words in verse number 28 that John brings out. Abide, appear, and ashamed. First is abide. Abide is a word we've seen twice already before. And we must recognize the importance of abiding in Christ. Abiding in Him has been the theme of these first two chapters in their entirety of this letter John writes here. You abide in Christ by obedience, truth, and love. Believing the truth, obeying the truth, and loving other Christians. As a believer, do you ever find yourself out of fellowship with God? No doubt we all do at times. Sometimes it even sneaks up on us. You know, I know for me, I get really concerned about something, this thing, you know, and I'm just real up in the air about it. First it's concern, then it turns to worry, and a lot of times it turns to bitterness. You know, I get bitter, you know, especially when you're dealing with people. Just how it goes a lot of times, right? And all of us are dealing with people. I hope you are. We're not doing anything for God, really, if we're not dealing with people. People are, that is God's business. That is God's purpose in its entirety. It has to do with people. But many times, no matter what we face in life, we'll find ourselves out of fellowship with God. And that happens typically because we have either disobeyed His word, or because we've lacked love for a brother, or when we've been deceived to believe a lie. The solution is to abide in Christ. John says, now little children, abide in Him. Confess your sin and claim God's forgiveness. What's our proof text for that? Confess your sin and claim God's forgiveness. It's in 1 John. You got it, Brother Rick? That's right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If you're going to get anything out of our study of 1 John, I want you to know 1 John 1, 9. Confess your sin, claim God's forgiveness. So we abide in Him, and that leads us to our second thought here, is that this is for preparation for when? For when He shall appear. John says, now little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear. Now this is John's first mention of the return of Christ. He writes the book of Revelation, which deals in detail with future events. But this letter merely mentions the return of Christ and a coming day of judgment. We read in verse 28 here, as he says, when He shall appear. If you go back over to chapter 3 there, you can read where he says, verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what shall be, what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. If you look to chapter number 4, verse number 17, John writes, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. We know that He will appear. That is our hope. If we had hope in this world only, we'd be what? Miserable. We'd be most miserable. But our hope is not in this world only. We have a future hope. We have a hope beyond the grave. We have a hope beyond this world. The Bible teaches us that Christ is soon returning for His church. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. You should have 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 circled in your Bible. Bright lights going off when you get to those pages. It's very important. Verse 13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. When do Christians question their faith the most? When do Christians allow themselves to be put down the most? It is at the death of a loved one. Death seems to be our biggest hang-up in this world. The thing that all human beings fear most is death. Even Christians who should have no fear of death. We fear death. And me too. Jesus conquered death. There is no sting in death for the believer. And Paul writes here to the church in Thessalonica and says, don't be ignorant concerning them which are dead. Don't be sorrowful. Don't act like those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again?
Amen.
Absolutely we do. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Have you ever tried to think about what he's going to shout? What do you think he's going to say? Yippee? Woo-hoo?
Come up hither?
Come up hither? Well, that sounds pretty good. I don't know what he's going to say. With a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. My children this week were talking about thunder. And the oldest has figured out that thunder can't hurt you. And that he was instructing his two younger brothers on this, you know. He said, now guys, lightning can hurt you. So you're never outside when it's lightning. Don't ever be in Miss Faye's pool when it's lightning. But he said, thunder can't hurt you. And they were talking about how, but thunder is the most, is scary. Lightning's not really that scary. It's kind of fun to watch. But thunder shakes the house, you know. Thunder really is scary. And it alerts us, or it gets us on our alert. It moves the earth. Or maybe thunder is the earth moving. I'm not sure. But the Lord's going to descend with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what's going to happen? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the best part. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Did you guys ever go through separation anxiety when you were children? That first time mom or dad left you at school or daycare or grandmother's house. First time you slept over at a buddy's or a girlfriend's. Ladies, I don't guess you slept at a... Maybe y'all called them buddies, I don't know. You wanted mom, you wanted dad, you wanted to be back where they were. You didn't want to be away from them very much. Even now, my children, we take them to a nanny and pop's house, and they're very familiar with nanny and pop's house. They know where all the goodies are. You know, they just kind of help themselves around there. It's like their second home. But even then, just Friday night, we were away from them just for about just a couple of hours. And they kept saying, when are mom and dad coming back? Where are mom and dad? I want my mom. Wanted to be together with them. I had this longing inside of me. Ever since the day I was saved, it's like I'm missing something. I'm away from something that I should be close to. I love this verse. So shall we ever be with the Lord. He's not dropping me off at daycare after this. I'm not going to have to go that first day of kindergarten after this. I'm not sleeping over at a buddy's house after this. I'm always going to be right there with him. Praise the Lord. And what does he say about that? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Isn't that comforting? The Lord is going to return. And John writes here and says, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear. He's going to appear. That day is coming. After this return of the Lord, there will be judgment. Though Christians will not be judged then for their sins, they will be judged on the basis of their faithfulness in serving God, Wiersbe says. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 teaches us this. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You ever had your work tried? I was working on my lawnmower yesterday and had a piece of my deck break off last week. So I had to put it back, get a new piece, put it on. I was bound and determined to do it myself. You know, when you're my age, you don't need dad's help anymore, right? I was going to fix it myself. About an hour and a half into that, even after consulting my neighbor. You know, can't ask the old man, but I can ask my neighbor, right? Even after that, I couldn't get it, so I had to make the call. Mom. I didn't call Dad. I called Mom. Where's Dad? He's right here. You want to talk to him? No, I don't want to talk to him. But I need his help. I don't want to tell him I needed his help. I told her I needed his help. Come on, sons. Give me an amen there. Y'all know what it's like. Come on, Matt. Come on, Daryl. Joseph. Y'all know where I'm at here. No offense. It's just the way it is. So he came and we got it fixed. But after we got it fixed, my work had to be tried because I had to turn that mower on. And there's all these belts and all these other pulleys and spindles and things, you know, and there's a grease in there. I don't know if I'd put enough grease in, if I'd put too much, or if I got the bearings back in right. I didn't know if I'd tightened it down, if it was going to rip loose again. I didn't know if I got the belt put on there just right. And there came the time where you had to flip the switch, you know, make those belts turn. And I thought, man, this is going to be, my kids were out there looking, you know, how did Dad do? I said, y'all back up, boys, back up. Flip that switch and it came on. I said, all right, success. There's coming a day where our work's going to be tried. All that we've done is going to be put to the test. Was it wood, hay, stubble? Was it gold, silver, gold? Was it done for Christ or was it done for vainglory? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed with fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We have that hope, nevertheless. But I don't want to stand before Christ empty-handed. I don't want to stand before Christ without a reward. Not so that I can say, look what I did. But so that I can say, this is for what you did for me. Those who have been faithful will receive rewards. 1 Corinthians 4:5. Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Those who haven't been faithful will lose rewards. This event is called the judgment seat of Christ when he shall appear. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What do you spend most of your time in this life fretting about in regards to your own actions? If you're anything like me, I spend most of my time worrying over my sins. And we should. 1 John 1:9 is in there. If you sin, confess your sins. But at the judgment, it's not going to be so much about my sins because Jesus already covered my sins. It's going to be about what I have done since I have been saved. But I spend so little time worrying about what I'm doing for Jesus and so much time worrying about, is everything just all right between me and Jesus? You ever had that friend who every time you had contact with them, they said, are you mad at me? You ever had this friend? How many of us are that friend to Jesus? Every time we talk to him, it's, are you mad at me? I'm sorry I did that. When every time we talk to him, it should be, hey, I'm off to go give a witness here. I'm off to go tell this person about your word. Help me. I'm excited to go today. But we're so consumed with confessing our sin that we spend so little time working for him. Now, the judgment seat is not to be confused with the great white throne judgment. The great white throne is for unsaved people at the end of time. John wrote of that in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. He says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it. Imagine what that must have been for John to have to see that. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The fact that Jesus may return at any moment should be motivating to us. Motivating you to live in fellowship with Jesus, to abide in him, and to be obedient to his word. Which leads John to his third idea here. Little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Ashamed. Some Christians will be ashamed before Him at His coming. Now, don't get me wrong. All believers are accepted. All believers are accepted, no matter what. But there's a difference between being accepted and being acceptable. You see, a child can go out and in disobedience, get dirty. Mama said, don't get in the mud. Well, the child just takes that as, oh, you mean there's mud? I didn't know of this mud. Could you direct me to the mud that I should not get in? And then they want to tromp around in it. If you've ever been around children, they don't want to dive right off the... Well, I've got one that dives right off the first time, but most of mine tiptoe around it a little bit. They'll stick a stick in the mud. They'll throw some rocks in the mud. And then their ball just happens to get into the mud. We don't know how this happens, but it does. And then they got to go in the mud after their ball. Then their feet are already dirty, so why not get the rest of them dirty? Well, when they come home, sure they have disobeyed. Sure they're covered in mud, and we're not letting them in the house directly. But they're still accepted. They may not be acceptable, but they are accepted. A Christian who has not walked in fellowship with Christ, living in obedience, love, and truth, will lose his reward. This leads to being ashamed. No matter how we look at life, there is reason to obey God. When He shall appear, we want to have confidence that we will not be ashamed. Think of the reasons that we have to obey God. Look back. See Calvary, where Christ died for you. Look within yourself. See the Holy Spirit who lives in you and teaches you all truth. Look around you. See the other Christians that you love, or see the world lost in sin. Look ahead. See the return of Christ. The return of Christ is great inspiration for godly living. This is motivation to abide in Him, that when He appears, you will not be ashamed. And then this entire section here that we've been dealing with for several weeks now, summed up in verse 29. If you miss it all, don't miss verse 29. You know that He is righteous. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Here John speaks of doing righteousness. The life that is real is a life of doing. Not simply talking, nor giving mental assent to a doctrine that is correct. No, it's doing. Matthew 7:21, hard words from Jesus Christ. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Christians do not simply believe the truth, they do it. Does your life bear the marks of obedience, love, and truth? Is your Christian life something that is real, genuine, and authentic? Are you a counterfeit? This is a question of truth or consequences. If you will not face the truth at the judgment, you'll have to pay the consequences. Let's stand and pray. As Miss Betty plays for us this morning, I think the prayer time is simple. Are you saved? Even the devils believe that they have no relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you walking in truth? Are you abiding in Him? If you're not, today's the day of salvation. Come. Submit to Jesus as Lord of your life. Repent of your sins. Be baptized. Begin your relationship with Jesus. For those of you here today who are, He's going to appear. If you are living a life with confidence that you won't be ashamed at His appearing, well, you're excited about it. But if you're not, you're like I find myself so many times saying, oh, it's not as soon as we want to make it out to be. We've got more time. We've always got more time. Don't live that life this morning. Live for Him. Live a life abiding in Him, doing righteousness, not just speaking of it, thinking of it, doing righteousness so that when He appears, you will not be ashamed.